is mentioned here? Lord appeared as Adi Sukara. Adi Sukara is the first born incarnation. So we see in Brahma Samhita, first verse, Lord Brahma mentions Ishvara Param Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarva Karan Karanam. So Lord is Ishvara. He is, no one is before him. He is the Adi of everything. He is the beginning of everything. So here it is mentioned, he is the first born incarnation who appeared. When Lord incarnates as born, he comes from the nostrils. We have already heard this in the previous chapters. Lord comes from the nostrils of Lord Brahma. So the Lord comes from the nostrils of Lord Brahma. And when he comes, he is of a size of a thumb. And then immediately, within a moment, he becomes huge. And he tries to, flies in the sky. And everyone, all the demigods and Lord Brahma is perplexed. Who is this personality who just appeared as a small thumb and now is flying in the sky and becomes so huge? But because Lord is so beautiful, Lord is very beautiful. In whatever form he comes, he's beautiful. If you see the boars that we find in India and many other places, they are not so attractive. But this boar incarnation is Swayam Bhagwan, is the Lord himself. So it's very beautiful. So immediately they come to know, they can realize, like, this is not an ordinary personality, this is not an ordinary boar. He is the supreme personality of Godhead because he's so attractive. Once Rukmani tells Krishna that you shouldn't look at yourself in the mirror. And then Krishna asks, why? Why shouldn't I look? And Rukmani says, because if you look into the mirror, then you will be attracted to yourself and you will lose attraction for me. Because you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful, you are more beautiful than us. So you will lose attraction for us. So you shouldn't look into the mirror. And we also know this pastime, like when Lord is passing through, and if he looks into the pillars, marble pillars, right? He sees his reflection and he becomes mohit. He becomes attracted. He becomes stunned looking at himself. So this is Lord. Lord is very beautiful. So that is why as soon as Lord appears as boar, all the devotees, the demigods and Lord headed by Lord Brahma come to know he is the Supreme Lord. Because he is so beautiful, attractive. Another point it is mentioned is in the purport that Lord desired to fight in order to enjoy his transcendental bliss. So, Lord always enjoys in whatever situation he is. Again, it's mentioned in this, he is Sachid Ananda Vigraha. Lord is Ananda, full of bliss. He's never crying except for one spot. Does anyone remember? When does he cry? That's right. So fear is one of the rasas in spiritual world. So Lord is always fearless in whatever situation he is. And so are the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are completely fearless. So in Bhagavatam we see pastime of Maharaj Parikshit. When Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, what did he do? He's completely fearless. He accepted the curse. He was capable enough to counteract the curse. He was capable enough to kill Taksha. If he could stop Kali Yuga from entering, he can do anything. Right? He is so powerful. If he can stop Kala, then he can. Taksha was no match for him. He was so powerful. But he accepted the curse. He was fearless. Because there is a pastime before that actually. We all remember from the previous canto, when Arjuna was sent a message from Lord Krishna. After Lord Krishna departed, Lord Krishna Sarthi came to Arjuna and gave a message to bring all the queens of Dwarka to Hastinapur to protect them. So Arjuna goes and is bringing all the queens on chariots. And when he's bringing all the queens in the way, on the way, he's been attacked by some local Adivasis, local tribal people. And he loses the battle. This Arjun, who counteracted all the, who was feared by all the Kauravas, and he counteracted, he could kill all the Kauravas in one bow and arrow. He had the same arrow, he had the same bow, Gandiva. But he lost the battle against this tribal people. And the queens were kidnapped by this tribal people. It is mentioned by the Acharyas, these tribal people were none other than Lord Krishna himself. So Arjuna says, okay, I lost this battle. It must be because Lord Krishna has left. He's dependent on the Lord. But then all these queens were taken by this tribal people, who was Krishna himself, to Vrindavan, and they were wandering around Vrindavan. And then after Arjuna and Pandavas, when they came to know like Lord has left this planet, they also gave the kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj and they also leave. But Parikshit Maharaj is wondering, where are these queens? How come Arjuna, my grandfather, who is such a powerful person, lost? So he's going in search of these queens. And he finds all these queens in Vrindavan, because it was their desire also to stay in Vrindavan. So they are all, these queens are wandering in Vrindavan. And then Parikshit Maharaj comes, they had a desire to hear Bhagavatam. And so Parikshit Maharaj comes and meets Uddhava. Uddhava is, we all know from this past time, in the previous chapters we have heard, Uddhava is a friend of, or a cousin of Krishna, and very close friend of Krishna. It is mentioned Uddhava, when he was 5 years old, and his mother used to tell him stories of Krishna, he used to leave his breakfast, he used to be so much attracted to the pastimes, he would not even eat at the age of 5 years. So he was very close to Krishna. And we know from previous chapters, Krishna instructed him, Krishna instructed Uddhava about Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and asked him to go and tell the same Bhagavatam to the sages of Nar Narayan Rishis in Badrikashram. So the, Uddhava stayed in Badrikashram as well as he is found in Vrindavan, because he had a desire. Uddhava, when he went, when he goes to Vrindavan on the instruction of Krishna to pacify the devotees there, gopis and his parents, Nand Maharaj and Yashoda. So Uddhava goes there, and he, when he sees the devotion of these devotees, Uddhava had this desire, I should stay at the outskirts of Vrindavan in the form of grass, so that all these devotees, when they step on me, I'll be blessed. Because their devotion was much, much higher than Uddhava. Uddhava until then was thinking, I am the best devotee of Lord. But when he saw the devotion of the gopis and Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya, he is like completely, he says, I am nowhere. I would prefer to be grass, because I cannot enter Vrindavan, I cannot stay in Vrindavan, because their mood is much, much higher. Their rasa is much higher. So I would like to stay at the borders of Vrindavan and stay as grass. So Uddhava was granted that. So Uddhava is in Vrindavan as well as he is in Badrikashram. So when Parikshit Maharaj comes, and by the arrangement of the Lord, all these queens are also there, and they meet Uddhava, and they express the desire to Uddhava that we want to hear the Bhagavatam that Lord told you. So Uddhava asked Parikshit Maharaj to guard outside when Bhagavatam is going on, so that he is not disturbed. So when Bhagavatam is going on, we should not get disturbed by any. I should switch off my mobile phone. Sorry. So this is what Uddhava tells Parikshit Maharaj. Like, you guard outside. And Parikshit Maharaj is feeling sorry. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, why should I be bereft of this knowledge of Lord Krishna? Because Parikshit Maharaj was also equally attracted or equally close to Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, we all know this past time, Parikshit Maharaj had seen Krishna right in the womb of his mother. So Parikshit Maharaj was also very close to Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj saying, I also want to hear. But Uddhava said, no, your time will come. At the end of your life, I give you blessing that you will hear the whole Bhagavatam from the right authority. From the topmost authority, you can speak Bhagavatam. So that is why now Bhagavatam was spoken and Parikshit Maharaj could hear Bhagavatam. Because at that time he was not able to hear. So the point we were discussing is Lord is always enjoying. So he is always in transcendental bliss. So are his devotees. Okay, the point we were discussing is Parikshit Maharaj was not feared. So Parikshit Maharaj was completely fearless because he knew Lord is always with him and he will always protect him. Another example we see from Bhagavatam is Ambarish Maharaj. When Ambarish Maharaj was confronted by Durvasa Muni, Durvasa Muni was angry, and in anger, we know this pastime, he pulled off a hair and created a fearful, fiery demon. But Parikshit Maharaj, it is mentioned, he did not even step back or he did not even move. Chanchala, it's mentioned, na chanchala. Na chanchala means he did not even move a slightest bit. He was completely fearless because he had full faith in Lord. Similarly, Maharaj Chitraketu we see. Maharaj Chitraketu, when he was cursed by Mother Parvati, he was cursed to go to take a lower body, take a body of a demon. Maharaj Chitraketu, and it was not even an offense actually on part of Maharaj Chitraketu, but he folded his hand and said, I accept your curse, Mother. And Mother Parvati is surprised by this. Mother Parvati, and Lord Shiva mentions this verse, Narayana para sarve nakutaschana bibiyati swarga apavarga narkeshva apituliyartha darshina. So those are devotees of Narayana, they are not even they are fearless, they are not even apituliyartha, they are fully equipoised, whether they are in swarga, whether they are liberated, or they are in narka, in lower planetary systems, they are not even bothered, because they are continuously engaged in the service of the Lord. So this is how we see from these examples how Lord is enjoying, and so are the devotees. In whatever situations they are, they always enjoy the pastimes of the Lord. And also we see from this pastime, actually this pastime is going on multiple levels. So the first level is Suta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Nemisaranya, headed by Sonaka Rishi. So Sonaka Rishi is asking, what happened to Maitreya Muni? And then Suta Goswami is quoting Sukhdeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj conversation. And Parikshit Maharaj is also asking, what happened to Vidura? And the same Sukhdeva Goswami is quoting Maitreya and Vidura's conversation. So Srimad Bhagavatam is going on multiple levels of question and answer. We see this is the proper way of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. We see in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, Tadvidhi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadyakshanti te gnanam gnaninas tattva darshina. So there are three things mentioned. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Pranipatena means we have to approach spiritual master. Pari prashnena, we should inquire submissively. Submissive inquiry is important. Parikrishna, sevaya, and render service to the spiritual master. So this is the proper way, and we see all these examples. In the beginning, Saunaka Rishi and all the sages of Namisharana are glorifying Suta Goswami and worshipping and asking questions submissively. Also, Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying Sukhdeva Goswami at the beginning and asking all the questions submissively. And we see even Vidura, when he met Maitreya Muni, first Vidura met in this canto we saw in the previous chapters, how Vidura meets Uddhava first. And then Uddhava instructs him to go to Maitreya Muni because he is more authoritative and he is senior. So he asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni, who was close by in Badrikashram, and hear Bhagavatam from him. So Vidura goes there and submissively, he glorifies Maitreya Muni first, and then asks all the questions. What did Lord do? What happened to the Lord? So this is how the devotees approach and ask questions. Also we see here, originally Jaya and Vijay, originally here Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were the servitor of the Lord. So they were cursed to, we all know the pastime, they were cursed to come into material world as, for three births, as demons. So they appear as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then Ravana. We see there is a very interesting point in this. When they came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they did not accept the authority of the Lord till end. Even when they were dying, they did not accept the authority of the Lord. So they had to take birth again as Ravana and Kumkarna. In Ravana and Kumkarna, if you see, Kumkarna instructs Ravana not to fight with Lord Ram, because he knew he was Vishnu. Whereas at the end of, even Ravana, because of his false ego, because of his lust, because of his ankara, he could not accept Lord Ram. But at the time of death, he does accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whole life Ravana did not accept. And even Kumkarna, he just followed his brother. He did not surrender onto Lord Ram as Vibhishan did. So at the time of death, they both accepted, yes, you are Lord, but we just had to fight, because it was their destiny. So they, so in the first births, they did not accept at all. In the second birth, at the time of death, they do accept. And then they take third birth. Third birth as Shishupal and Dantavakra. In the life of Shishupal, we see, until the last moment, he does not accept Lord, but his attraction for the Lord is complete in envy. Because when he was killed in the palace of Rajasuya Yagna, in the Yudhishthira Maharaj's Rajasuya Yagna, he was killed. Everyone saw that the soul coming out of Shishupal merging into Lord Krishna. And when it merged, Yudhishthira Maharaj is perplexed. He is thinking, how is it possible? Like such a demon who has been speaking inimical words, who is so much of full of envy towards the Lord, merging into the Lord. How is that possible? How can such a demon get liberation? And then Narad Muni is saying, like, his attraction is complete, actually. He was completely absorbed in the thoughts of Lord, even though it was because of envy. But Narad Muni accepts that as a topmost bhava. Because he was completely thinking, 24 hours he was thinking only about the Lord. It is not recommended that we do that, but that's a requirement. We should be completely absorbed 24 hours in the thoughts of the Lord. And then even a person like Shishupal can get liberation. Because the Lord just looks at the positive part of it. He never looks at the negativity. There's a verse in Aho bakiyam sthana kalakutam, jigam sayadapi asadvi, lebe gatim datri uchitam tatvanyam kimva dayalum saranam brajema. So it says, even Putna, who came to poison Krishna, she was given the position of nurse, mother in spiritual world. Because Lord is so kimva dayalum, how merciful is this Lord. Like even a person who comes to poison him, he gives her the position of a nurse or mother in spiritual world just because she offered her milk. So Lord does not look at the negative part of the devotion. He only looks at the positivity. So what to speak of from these two examples, Shishupal and Putna, we can see what to speak of devotees who favorably worship the Lord, who favorably accept the Lord, even if their devotion is not complete, but they will definitely be looked after by the Lord. They will definitely be protected by the Lord. So, it is mentioned how Lord always protects. Originally, they were servitors. So, in the life of Shishupal and Dantavakra, they were given liberation. But still, they had not completely surrendered. So, to go back to Godhead, we need to be completely surrendered. So, they had to come one more time. As Jagai and Madai. And what did Jagai and Madai do? They completely surrendered unto the Lord. Right? And that was a perfection. And that was the perfection of their lives to go back home, back to Godhead. So we see in these lives of Jay and Vijay, even though they were spiritual associates, they were completely, they are Nitya Siddha devotees. But still when they were in material world, they went through gradually. Until they completely surrendered. And when they completely surrendered, they went back. Even though the curse was only for 3 births, but they still had to take 1 more birth. So that is requirement. So Lord is showing us by his devotees, example. Like if you want to go back to Godhead, this is the requirement. You have to completely surrender yourself. Otherwise, it will be difficult. Otherwise, bahujanma kariyadi shravana kirtanam tabutana paya krishna pade premadan. Until we completely surrender, it's not possible. And it is his fight with the Supreme Lord was meant for his liberation. This is also a very nice verse, nice sentence in the purport Prabhupada mentions. It was meant for his liberation. So Lord automatically creates situation. If you are surrendered to the Lord, even if you show little bit of sincerity, Lord automatically creates situation so that you can come close to Krishna. We see in the... I'll quickly finish, but there is a pastime of Daksha. Daksha was asked to create progeny. And when Daksha was asked to create progeny, what did he do? He created 10,000 sons. He propagated, he had 10,000 sons with his wife, and those sons were bright, effulgent, and he asked them, he asked them to go to the banks of Narayan Sarovar and become purified, because that is a very spiritual place. So he asked them to go to this place and meditate and do some austerity and come back and then help him propagate the world. So these 10,000 sons go to the bank of Narayan Sarovar, and then they are meditating and doing penance, and Narad Muni comes there. We have to understand Narad Muni is a very powerful personality. Throughout Bhagavatam, he appears again and again. I think he's the, apart from Lord Krishna and Balaram and the residents of Vrindavan, he's the most appearing person in Bhagavatam. In all cantos, most of the cantos he appears. So Narad Muni reaches there and he says, yeah, these are the good candidates already doing austerity. We see some boys when they are collecting names for retreat. When somebody comes to upstairs for prasadam, they know they are already eating prasadam, they are already in temple, they are good candidates, easy target, right? So Narad Muni is also there. This philosophy comes from Narad Muni, right? Narad Muni sees these 10,000 sons are his good target because they are already doing austerity, they are doing meditating on the Lord. So he preaches to them, he tells them, what are you doing? After they were coming, after doing the austerity, they were going back to fulfill the order of Daksha. He approaches them, where are you going? And they said, our father has instructed us to propagate this world. And Narad Muni gives them different analogies. He tells them, it's like Andhakupam where you are going. It's like a dark well, one-way street. Once you get married and create progeny, only Brahmachari is here, I think. Some of them. Yeah. So it's like a dark well. What are you doing? You'll be wasting your life. Whereas if you take shelter of the Lord, it's a one way. You straight away go back to Godhead and you don't have to take birth again. But if you propagate, if you get into this dark well, you'll have to come again and again. And he tells all this philosophy and he scares them. Not scares them, but he enlightens them. So he enlightens them. I'm not scaring, by the way. I'm just repeating the words of Narad Muni. So he enlightens them. So this 10,000, they were already pious and they had already done purity, so they could understand Narad Muni's words. Straight away they go to forest. And when Daksha comes to know this, like this 10,000 sons have already left, he was angry. He was upset. Not angry, but he was upset a little bit. But he understood, like they have gone for the higher course, so he was okay. So he again created 10,000 sons. He begot 1,000 sons this time with his wife. And he gives the same instruction, go to Narayan Sarovar and then you just meditate, do some austerity and come back. So this 1,000 sons also go to Narayan Sarovar, perform austerity, and while they are coming back, Narad Muni again, easy target. Next retreat has come now. We need next batch. So again, this time it was easy for them, for Narad Muni to preach. Because he said, what are you doing? Where are you going? And this 1,000 sons say, we are going to help our father propagate the universe. And say, do you know what, you had elder brothers and those 1,000? Yeah. And what did they do? So they said, they went to forest for liberation, for a higher cause, for enlightenment. So then why are you wasting your time? Just follow your elder brothers. One should follow his elders. He just gave that philosophy. And they say, those 1,000 sons were also intelligent. They performed austerity. They could understand, yeah, our elders have done this. We should also do this. So they also went. And so this is the way how Narad Muni influences people. And this time, yeah, Daksha was upset and curses Narad Muni that you have taken away my 10,000 and 11,000 sons. So you cannot stay in one place from now on. And similarly, we see even devotees, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, he has been cursed not to stay in one place, so he keeps on traveling by the parents of all the kids who joined ISKCON. So he keeps on traveling. So Prabhupada mentioned that. And similarly, Narad Muni also accepted the curse. He did not become fearful, oh, now what will I do? I cannot stay at one place. No, but he said, he was blissful. He said, yeah, that's good. Now I'll travel around the world, upper and lower planetary system, everywhere, and preach the message. He took it as a boon. And we see Narad Muni also met. So in this context, when Brahma is populating the universe, the first Brahma creates four Kumaras. And they straight away say, no, we are not interested into your creating business. We are going because we know the higher truth. So we'll just walk away from this business of creating and project, getting into the material world. So they just left. And Brahma was a bit upset. And out of that little bit of anger comes Rudra. Rudra is Lord Shiva. He's crying, so his name was given Rudra. And Brahma tells Lord Shiva, you also go and create. And Rudra goes and creates. And because he is in charge of mode of ignorance, he creates all the living entities in the mode of ignorance, ghosts, spirits. And these were all like wild people. They started destroying the universe. And Brahma had to stop them. Lord Shiva, telling him, stop, don't do it. Because I've just created this thing and you're destroying everything. It's not time for you. You go and do some meditation. I'll call you when the time of destruction comes. So he also stops them. And then he creates 10 rishis. And then he creates Satyarupa and Swayambhu Manu. And instructs them to create. And when Satyarupa and Swayambhu Manu were instructed to create, they created 2 sons and 3 daughters. The sons were Priyavrata and Uttanapad. And the daughters were Akuti, Devuti and Prasuti. So this whole Bhagavatam, like the first 9 cantos, are the generations from these 5 people. And we see Priyavrata also was approached by whom? Narada Muni. So he took sannyas. Again, he is brought back in 5th canto, he will come back. But here, Priyavrata also said, I'm not interested. And he went to the Himalayas, he went to the north and took sannyas. So we see the devotees of the Lord are always blissful in whatever situation they are. And Lord always protects them. Lord always gives them shelter. And whatever Lord does is for the liberation of a devotee. Once a devotee approaches, once a person approaches the Lord, Lord makes arrangements in whatever situation, in whatever status, whether you are grihastha, brahmachari or vanaprastha, whatever situation you are in. Once you approach Lord, Lord takes in charge of your life. And everything that the Lord does, whether good or bad, it is for your liberation. So one has to be fully surrendered. That is the main point. One should never leave the shelter of the Lord, whether he is going through good times or bad times. This is the essence of this verse. So I'll stop here. If anybody has got any comments, I'm not sure I can answer the questions, but I'll try. So the question is, why would Narad Muni interfere with the desire of Lord Brahma, which is to populate the universe? So we see when there is a prison house, the jailer's job is to get as many criminals into the prison house as possible, right? And then if somebody is not committing any crime, then jailer's job is gone, right? So is it okay for everyone to be saintly and not commit crime? If the jail is empty, it doesn't matter. It is good, in fact. Right? So even though Brahma's position is to create or populate this material world, which is jail, Narad Muni saw like it's better to take all the criminals out and rectify them rather than keeping them in jail. So that is a higher cause. You getting the point? So it's not important to propagate. It's not important that we tell all the brahmacharis to become grihastha so that you can populate the material world. It's not necessary. There are many people. It will happen anyways. There are many criminals. So it's bad. I'm not saying all the grihasthas are criminals, but I'm just saying. But that's the point. If somebody is a brahmachari, one should encourage. Right? Because that is for the higher cause. Why to go through the circus just if you can take a shortcut? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.